Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Merry Christmas, everybody. All right, that's a little bit better. Okay, the caffeine's kicking in now. Awesome. Well, it's great to see you this morning. We're getting into the Christmas spirit. Hey, let me start by asking you this question, okay? We'll have a little crowd participation, a little fun here. How many of you remember how excited you used to get when you were a kid to open your presents on Christmas morning? Anybody remember that? How excited you were? How many of you adults are still like that? You wake up wired and excited? Some of y'all are like that. You just love to receive gifts. Yeah, I remember those days. It was so exciting when I was a kid. We would wake up on Christmas morning. Now, we used to open some of our Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. We had a big family get together, so we would open some of our smaller presents from aunts and uncles and stuff like that. But Christmas Day was usually the day that was reserved for our big present, you know, like the really big presents you were excited about. And the best year I ever remember having was the year that I got my first brand new bike. It was amazing. It was life-changing. See, I am number three of four boys. So any of you who are, you know, down the chain in the birth order, you know what I'm saying. You got hand-me-downs growing up. Anybody? You were the little brother or little sister. You feeling my pain this morning? Yeah. I had hand-me-down everything, right? Because I had two older brothers. So I was used to getting their, you know, leftover beat-up sports equipment and stuff. And I had these rickety old beat-up bikes. Until I was 10 years old, my parents got me my first brand new bike. It was a Western Flyer bike from Kmart, and you would have thought they had bought me a Porsche. It was amazing. It was great. I remember waking up. I had been telling my parents I wanted a new bike, and I was so excited. I was like that little kid, Ralphie, in Christmas Story, who wanted a BB gun, right? A little Red Ryder BB gun. I just knew my parents were going to pull through for me, right? And they did. I remember waking up. I ran into my parents' bedroom. I burst open through the door, and there was my bike. My dad had put it all together. It was all ready to go. And I'm pretty sure I remember like a light shined from heaven and there was a choir of angels singing the hallelujah chorus. At least that's how I remember it. And I got on my bike and I just like rode it right out of the house. It was awesome. I just rode it like all day. I had like icicles on my face. I was just riding my bike. Just kidding. It was in Louisiana. We didn't have icicles. But it was awesome. It was amazing. And here's the truth. You never grow too old for Christmas presents, do you? Right? I mean, we all love receiving gifts, even as adults. I mean, listen, should you choose to buy me a gift card to H&M, I'm going to receive it gladly, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to be happy. I'm not trying to plant any ideas. I'm just saying, we all love receiving gifts. I was reading this past week Dr. Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Some of you have read that book before. And Dr. Chapman claims that receiving gifts is actually one of the primary ways that human beings experience love. He has this whole theory that there are five kind of primary love languages, and one of those is this idea of receiving gifts. He says gifts are visual symbols of love. Think about that. When you give someone a gift, it's a visual symbol of love. Now, for some of you, receiving gifts is your primary love language. Do I have anybody in here who receiving gifts is your primary love language? Come on. We won't judge you. Where are the ladies at in the house? I know some of y'all love to shop. Some of y'all are like, if you love me, you can show me by going to the mall, right? Take me to the mall if you love me. Come on. I want to hear that credit card swiping. I want to put that chip in there because that's when I'm feeling the love. Oh, yeah. And for those of you husbands, we know you're broke and we're praying for you. I'm so glad my wife's primary love language is words of affirmation. Words don't cost a whole lot. I can do that. I'm a preacher. I just can spit the words out all day long. I can wax poetic. I'm so thankful that my wife's primary love language is not receiving gifts because I would be up a creek. Well, here's the deal, guys. You know, receiving gifts is great. It's part of the fun of the season. But I think we all know that giving is something special as well, right? There's just something special about generosity. There's something special about this season because it's a season that reminds us that we need to give. It's a season that reminds us of how important generosity is. It's kind of a wake-up call, right? Like even stingy people are generous a lot of times at Christmas. It's like this wake-up call that we need once a year that reminds us that giving is important. It's something we need to do. We need to embrace generosity. And let me ask you, did you ever give someone the perfect gift? I mean, you nailed it, right? Like you knew exactly what they wanted. You gave it to them and you just saw their face like light up. Have you ever done that before? Like you just nailed that Christmas gift. And how did you feel? How did that make you feel? Made you feel great on the inside, didn't it? I mean, for those of you who are parents, who have kids, come on, you know the joy of giving your kids that perfect gift that they've been waiting for, right? Like, you know how they do exactly what I did when I was 10 years old. They wake up first thing in the morning, they come jump on you on the bed. They're excited, right? They can't wait. And there's just a joy in giving gifts to your kids, and it just feels so good, doesn't it? Well, I just thought because this is a season of generosity and giving, we would just have some fun with the message today. So five lucky, blessed people this morning are going to get a gift. Anybody want a free gift this morning? Anybody? Where are my people at? That's your primary love language. So here's what you're going to do. You got to participate. You have to look under your seat because five of you have a Starbucks gift card in an envelope taped underneath your seat. So you need to look around right now, all the way under your seat. Just get up, flip it over. There's five people. If you find it, hold it up and wave it at me, and then everybody can be seated if you didn't get it. And if it's not under your seat, you might want to look around because there's five of them scattered throughout the theater. So come on, we're going to participate here. When you find it, just pull it out and then hold it up till we find all five. They're scattered around. There should be some up there. If there's not one under your seat, just look until we get all five. Who's got one? Hold it up. Where are the lucky people at? I'm a little bit blinded by the light here, so you got to hold it up. Let me see. How many we got so far? Help me count. We got one. Who else? We got two. There's five total. Anybody else? I can't see. You guys have to help me. We got three. Woohoo! All right, good. Who else got one? Fourth one. Do we have all five? Everybody hold them up. How many we got? One, two, three, four. We're still missing one. You got to look all the way underneath the seat. There's one more. Come on. It's up there. Look around. All right. Somebody's going to get it. Hang around after service and look under all the seats. Let's give these guys a hand who got there. Yes, that is to feed your caffeine addiction. did we get it? We got the other one? All right, that's a little something from Redemption to say Merry Christmas to get into the spirit of giving this morning. Well, today we're continuing a series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Christmas Words. You know, just the thought of Christmas causes all kinds of words and images and ideas to pop into our minds. And each week we've been looking at a different word. We've been diving into a different word that has the capacity to help us navigate the hustle and the bustle of this season and to embrace life-changing truth, because that's what Christmas is about. All that other stuff is fun, but this is really a season of worship. We started this Advent season, this Christmas season at the beginning of the month by saying we are committed as a church to making this a season of worship. This isn't a season of stress. This isn't a season of credit card debt. This isn't a season of getting in a fight with somebody at the Westchester Mall over a parking place. I know none of y'all would ever do that, right? This isn't a season of not looking forward to seeing your in-laws. This is a season of love and joy and peace and hope. This is a season for embracing the presence of God. This is a season for getting closer to Jesus. And so I hope you have been intentional, and I hope you've been experiencing that. And so today we're going to continue. We're going to look at our next word, and our word for today is the word give. Everybody say give. Yeah. Give. So I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, to the book of Acts chapter 20, or if you have your smartphone or tablet or whatever device you're using, find Acts chapter 20. That's in the New Testament. Keep going past the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You'll hit Acts, the book of Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 32 through 35. The book of Acts is kind of a continuing story. The Gospels tell the story of Jesus' ministry, and Acts is like part two. This is what happens, the early apostles and their works. This book is called the Acts of the Apostles. And this passage that we're going to look at is actually not from the Christmas story. Okay? This is actually the Apostle Paul. He's actually giving a farewell address to the Ephesian elders. There was this church in this city called Ephesus, which is in modern day Turkey, Asia Minor. And this was a city that Paul dearly loved because it was a church that he served there for 3 years. On his missionary journeys, he had planted and started a church in the city of Ephesus. And in fact, there's a letter in the New Testament called the Ephesians, right? It's a letter, an epistle to that church in Ephesus. And so Paul was passing back through Ephesus on his way to Jerusalem, and he knew this was going to be the last time he was ever going to see these people he dearly loved. In fact, the chapter says that. You can read the rest on your own. But he had this kind of emotional moment. So this is a very emotionally charged moment. Here's the Apostle Paul. He had spent years with these people. He loved these people. He knew he was never going to see them again. And so he has this very emotional embrace, and he reminds them of some things. And so here we go, Acts 20, verses 32 through 35. This is what he said to the Ephesian elders. He said, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions." Listen to these words. "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak." Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, he said this. Here's our key verse. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." That's our key verse for today. That's the big idea for today's message. Verse 35, the very words of Christ. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So Paul remembers the words of Jesus. These aren't words that are recorded in the Gospels. Most of the words that Jesus spoke are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's a few words of Jesus in the opening chapter of the book of Acts. But this is something that actually came back to Paul's remembrance that Jesus actually said. Maybe he had heard Jesus say it himself, or he heard some other early Christians who knew Jesus, the disciples, the apostles, who passed it on to them. But as he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, as he's reminding them to hold on to the gospel, as he's reminding them of the example that he set for them, how he served them, how he loved them, these words come back to his remembrance that the Lord himself said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think most of us would probably aspire to be more generous. How many of you would like to be more generous? You'd like to be at a place in life where you could give more, help people? I think most of us would. You know, no matter where you are today, whether you consider yourself to be a Christian or not, wherever you are in your faith journey, I think our culture values generosity. I think most of us, you would say, "I'd like to be able to help more people. I'd like to be at a place in my finances and in my, you know, my disposition and my position in life to be able to help more people who are in need." But I think if we're also honest with ourselves, this verse is a little bit counterintuitive. Think about it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you think about it for a moment, right? If I give, I have less money or time or energy or whatever it is that I'm giving away, right? But if I receive, I have more, right? Just follow me, following the logic here. And so this is a little bit counterintuitive because you might say, "Well, how is it that I'm more blessed if I give away resources and things that are valuable to me? Because it sure seems like if I'm the one receiving them, that's where the blessing is, to have more." And so we're going to take a closer look at the scripture, and I want to give you three reasons why we're more blessed to give than to receive. When you came in today, you should have received some note sheets. No, those are not for coloring if you get bored during the sermon. We want to invite you to take those out and jot down a few things because you can revisit this during the week and pray about it and just spend some more time thinking about the message and meditate on it. So three reasons why we're more blessed to give than to receive. Here's the first one. You ready? Giving gets you into the flow of blessing. Giving gets you into the flow of blessing. Everybody say flow. And I want you to write this down, either in your phone or write down some notes on those note sheets. See, I've learned to see the blessing of God as sort of a flow, in that he blesses us so that we can bless others. It's not so much about balancing your life or prioritizing your life, or it's not so much that the blessings and resources of the world are a pie and, you know, I can give a piece of the pie away to somebody else, or if somebody else gets a piece, I have less. No, it's really more of a flow of blessing, and we got to get into the flow. Let me give you a scripture to help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. This is another text from the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Corinthians, the church at Corinth, and this is what he told them. He said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously." He's talking about giving, and he's giving them an agricultural analogy, right? From planting, from farming. Look at verse 7. "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So he's talking about giving. In particular, he's talking about meeting the needs of the local church. He's calling them to be generous, to support the ministry of the church. Verse 8. "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. work. Do you see how the blessing of God is connected to generosity? Do you see what Paul's saying? He's showing them something very important here. He's saying, live generously. Be faithful in your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't love people who give out of a sense of guilt or compulsion because they feel bad, because they feel like they have to. No, God loves people who give graciously and generously, who are thankful for the opportunity. And here's what happens when you do that. It positions you to be blessed abundantly so God can just continue to use you to do even more so that you can abound in good works. Here's the idea. When we live generously, God is able to entrust us with more resources because he knows you're the kind of person who's going to steward and direct those resources to the causes and the things and the people that he cares about. Are you with me today? That's why he says when you live this way, when you live generously, when you do it cheerfully, when you recognize that it's an act of worship and gratitude, God is able to bless you abundantly. You know, when I think about this whole flow idea, I think about water. Most of you guys know that I grew up down in the New Orleans area in Louisiana. I married this New Yorker, you know, and I heard this clear call to the state of New York after I married a New Yorker. And, you know, I grew up, there's a lot of swamps where I grew up down in Louisiana. And, you know, you don't really want to swim or drink swamp water. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you don't really swim in a swamp. You might get eaten by an alligator or something. But swamps are, they're known for being like stagnant. They don't smell very good, right? Like swamps are a place where water ends up. It's not a place where water keeps moving usually, right? It's still water. It's water that doesn't have a great smell to it, and because it's not flowing. Much better to swim or wade in a creek or a river, right? Or have your drinking water supply come from a river. Why is that? Because a river is flowing. There's health to water that's been flowing. You want to drink from water that's been sitting anywhere too long, anywhere. You want water that is flowing. And that's really a picture for us, right? Some of us, we get to this place in life where we get really stagnant because we're on the receiving end. Resources come to us, but we don't allow them to flow through us to bless anybody else. And a lot of us know people who are walking through life that way. They're walking through life that way, and their life is kind of stagnant. There's nothing fresh to it because there's no flow going through them. Here's an idea for you to put in your notes today. When you receive a gift, the blessing of God comes to you. But when you give, the blessing of God flows through you. That's the truth. That's what this whole getting into the blessing thing is. I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody. I want to be somebody that God can entrust with time and energy and resources and finances because I want to get into the flow of blessing. I don't know about you, but I want to be positioned to where God can keep entrusting me with more because I'm the kind of person who directs resources to places and causes and things that he cares about. When you're a giver, when you live your life generously, and listen, we're not just talking about money here. I mean, money is the primary object because it just gets right to the heart of the matter. But we're talking about the way we live our lives. We're talking about having a disposition toward servanthood. We're talking about our time. We're talking about our energy. We're talking about our talents. So when you receive, it comes to you. But when you give, it flows through you. I want to just give you a personal testimony this morning. I'm telling you, I've lived by this principle my whole adult life. My parents taught us to give even when we were kids in Sunday school. My parents gave us offering. When we got birthday money, they taught us to tithe on our birthday money. You know, that may sound crazy to you, but I'll tell you this, parents. If you want your kids to be generous, hello, you got to start teaching them. Really, they're not going to just learn it on their own. Don't trust them to this culture to learn generosity, this materialistic culture we live in. If you want them to be generous people when they grow up, you got to start teaching them. And I've lived by these principles my whole life. Amy and I have given more than 10% of our income, this principle we call tithing, bringing our first fruits. It's a biblical idea to the Lord. And given more than that, we give to special causes. We've already given in the Christmas offering for this year. We support a World Vision Child because there's a blessing that comes. And I want to tell you, we have never missed a beat. Our bills are paid. We're provided for. God sends blessing into our lives. Back in 2013, God called us to take the biggest leap of faith we've ever taken in our lives, to step out and plant a church. And I can tell you, we put everything on the line. Our finances were on the line. Everything was on the line. And I can stand here today and tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful. Not only did he cover us, but he provided for us. He blessed us and we flourished and we're making it. And so I just want to tell you, I just want to encourage you to embrace this whole generosity thing because there's nothing like it. And I've seen the faithfulness of God. And many of you have lived by these principles as well. And you've seen the faithfulness of God in your life. And so I want to just say to you, we don't just give to receive, okay? When we give in the offering or we give of our time or whatever we do, this is not like we're playing a glorified lottery here, right? I'm going to keep giving until I strike it big so God can give back to me. No, we give out of gratitude. We give out of gratitude for all that God has done for us, and we give out of humility, and we give out of obedience to God's word, out of love. And so we don't have to give, and we don't give just to get something back. No, we give because God has already given so much to us. But when you do, I'm telling you, it gets you into the flow of God's blessing, and that's a place where you want to live. Okay, here's the second reason why we're more blessed to give than to receive. Giving helps us have a purpose in life that's greater than ourselves. That's the truth. Giving helps us have a purpose in life that's greater than ourselves. How many of you know we need a purpose in life that's bigger than us? I want you to put this in your notes today. You see, the temptation that we constantly face in this life is to make life all about us. We all kind of have this default, you know, natural self-centeredness that we're kind of wired that way on our own. I've noticed with my kids that I never had to teach them how to be selfish. There's a lot of things I have to teach them, but, you know, they just popped out of the womb just naturally selfish. They figured that out all on their own. And if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so we all kind of have this natural self-centeredness about us. And then we live in this culture that in 100 different ways, we as Western, modern, sophisticated people living here in Westchester and in Southern Connecticut, sophisticated as you are, we have this message that comes to us all the time that life is about you. It's about your potential. It's about your happiness. It's about you getting what you want out of life. And then this is marketed to us in 1,000 different ways from people who want our money, right? That we live in an iPad, iPhone, your way, right away kind of culture. You need this, you need that to be happy in life. If you'll just buy this product right now, if you'll just swipe your credit card, you're going to be really happy in life. Hello, we're bombarded by these messages all day, every day, right? It's the constant battle that we're in. And so we really need to fight to have a purpose in life that's greater than us, because all of these voices in the world are telling us, make yourself the very center of the world. The world revolves around you. You're beautiful, you're good looking, you're nice, you're smart, but the world doesn't revolve around you. There's like 6 billion other people on the planet. So let me give you a verse today. Look back at what Paul said in verse 33 earlier that we looked at in the book of Acts. Verse 33, he said to the elders from Ephesus, he said, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Why would he bring that up? Kind of an odd thing to bring up as he's saying his goodbyes to them. You know what he was reminding them? He was reminding them that he was called to serve them. He was reminding them that for 3 years, he had preached the gospel, not for profit. He had preached the gospel. He had loved them. He had served them. He went there and he was about serving and giving and not just about receiving. He was reminding them that he had a purpose that was greater than himself. And do you know that the Apostle Paul was used mightily to change those people's lives? And do you know that the Apostle Paul's life is still changing our world and changing us now? Because a good chunk of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. He had a huge shape on the church, on Christianity. Because he had a purpose in life that was bigger than himself. You know, when I think about that, I think of a news story I saw a couple weeks ago about an amazing guy named Jason Brown. We have a picture for you today. Jason Brown was one of the best centers in the NFL. A few seasons ago, he played for 7 years in the NFL. He played for the Baltimore Ravens and at the time, St. Louis Rams. And at one point in time, this guy was a big deal. He had a 5-year, $37 million contract with the St. Louis Rams. Not bad, right? And a few years ago, he eventually walked away from all of it. And do you know what he decided to become? Do you know what he did? He didn't go into business. He didn't open up a bunch of car dealerships or a chain of restaurants. He started a farm. And he learned how to farm by watching YouTube videos. Come on, none of us have any excuses. Like, you could just learn anything in life with YouTube. It's amazing. Quit going to college. Just stop and just go watch YouTube and learn how to do so. I'm just kidding. Some of y'all don't get in trouble. Like, your parents will be really upset with me, you young college professionals. Man, y'all are really, like, really serious today. Come on, it's Christmas. We're getting into the spirit of joy and happiness. Okay, so this guy, Jason Brown, ditched his NFL career. He walked away from the whole thing for this sense of calling. And he started a farm in North Carolina, his home state. Not just any farm. You know what he named his farm? He named his farm First Fruits Farm. That's this whole biblical principle, right, of giving our first fruits, tithing, bringing our first fruits to God. And here's what he does. He donates the first fruits of every harvest to food pantries to meet the needs in his community. In fact, this past year, his first harvest, he gave 100,000 pounds of sweet potatoes to local food banks. That's a lot of sweet potatoes. Come on, that's a lot of sweet potato pie, isn't it? This guy's amazing. He's amazing. Like, people are just baffled. His agent told him, you're making the greatest mistake of your life. He said, no, I'm not. because he wanted a purpose in life that was greater than just the fame and the limelight of playing in the NFL. He wanted his life to impact people. This is what he said. He said, love is the most wonderful currency that you can give anyone. Isn't that a powerful quote? Here's a guy who's living it, who's doing it. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged by people like that. Somebody who's making millions of dollars in the NFL. He's the envy of all of his friends and family. Everywhere he goes, he's a celebrity, one of the best centers in the NFL, and he walks away from the whole thing to go do something totally different with his life, but to do something that's going to live on a long time after he's gone. You see, that's what giving does. Giving sets us free from making our lives the center of the universe. Giving and generosity, it has the ability to set us free from materialism. It sets us free from selfishness. It sets us free from the hold that money can have on us. Listen to me today, church. I'm telling you, one day, years from now, when you are long gone, nobody is going to sit around and remember what kind of house you lived in, what kind of car you drove. Those aren't going to be the things that people talk about. They're not going to talk about your socioeconomic status. You know what people are going to remember? They're going to remember the impact that you made on their life. That's what they're going to remember. And if you don't think it's true, think about the people who have touched your life who aren't here anymore, who have gone before you. People who shaped you, people who had made an impact in your life. Do you walk around talking about how successful they were financially? Or do you remember the things they taught you in life, the way they served you, the way they gave of themselves, the difference they made in your life? That's the thing that lives on after us. That's the thing that Jason Brown gets. And that's the thing we need. Thank God for Christmas. Thank God for this time of year. That's a wake-up call for all of us. And we want to embrace this, not just at Christmas time, but all year round. Our prayer today is, God, make us generous people. God, make us people who are just oriented toward giving, toward serving, toward loving people. Not just Christmas, but all year round. So here's the third thing. The third reason we're blessed to give and not just to receive. There's actually a greater blessing on giving. And here's the third thing. Giving changes the world. Giving changes the world. Think about this. The Apostle Paul gave of himself. He gave himself to these people, these Ephesians, this church. He poured out his life. He loved these people. He shared the gospel with them. See, that's the way it worked. It cost Paul something for the Ephesians to receive something. Are you getting it? He had to pour out his life, his blood, his sweat, his tears, years of his life, preaching, teaching, giving the gospel. He gave of himself so that a church could be born in Ephesians, and it changed these people's lives. And that's the way it works. That's the way God has set it up. For someone to receive, someone has to give. For someone to receive the blessing, somebody has to be the conduit of blessing. It's got to flow through somebody. There is a price. There is a cost. But there's a blessing that comes, and it brings a lasting change. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's what Christmas is about. That's where there's music playing and movies about this theme, and everybody's talking about generosity and giving, because they know deep down in their spirits it makes a difference, because we celebrate this time of year the greatest gift the world has ever seen. That God the Father sent his only Son, right? The most famous scripture, John 3:16. We see it on banners hanging in football stadiums during football games. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, God is the greatest giver the world has ever seen. God is the creator. God is the giver of life. God is the greatest giver we've ever seen. And that tells me that giving is divine. Giving is sacred. Giving is a calling on our lives. And when we do it, an act of generosity is full of God's glory. Are you with me? Whether you're giving of your time, whether you're serving someone, whether you step up to meet a need for somebody, whether you prepare a meal for a person who's sick, whether you give of your finances, it is a deed that is full of God's glory. Here's the deal. When you and I go to the store to buy the things we need, groceries and clothes, go to the movies, all the things that we do, that we spend our money on, those are things we sometimes need to do, some things that we want to do. But we kind of know that transaction has a shelf life, doesn't it? That experience, that thing we're buying, that sweater you're going to wear for this year and it's going to be out by next year. It's a transaction and it's got a shelf life. But I think here's something we know deep down intrinsically in our spirits. When you give to someone else, when you serve someone, when you live generously, it's an act that lives on, isn't it? It's something that somehow lives on. And here's why. Because it's an act of God. and it's full of God's glory. It's a divine act. Think about that. Giving is a divine act. In fact, here's the deal. The only thing that's better than receiving is giving, because giving, when you give, you're like your Heavenly Father. You want to be like God? God is the greatest giver the world has ever seen. And so my prayer is, God, make me more like you. I want to be more of a giver. I want to live more generously with my life, because I'm telling you, when you live there, the presence of God is there, the divine is there, the sacred is there, and you've felt it before. You felt it when you've really stepped up to give and meet someone's need. And so here's what I want to say to you. Through giving, we can participate in God's work in this world. Last week, we talked about how God has this rescue plan underway. We talked about peace. We talked about the work of God that's happening in our world on a grand scale. And do you know, when we live generous lives, we get to participate in what God is doing in the world? See, God is in the midst of fixing up this broken planet. God is a God of redemption. God is a God of restoration. That's what the gospel's about. That's why he sent his son Jesus. That's why we sing about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And we rejoice in this good news that God is redeeming humanity. But here's the deal. When you give, when you live a generous life, you get to be a part of that. You and I were invited to be a part of that. Today, we have a very tangible opportunity to put the message into practice. We're going to be receiving our Christmas offering in just a moment. And 100% of our Christmas offering is going to go away to be given to very special needs. Three projects. We'll talk about them in just a moment. We're going to receive our regular tithes and offerings as well, but we're going to receive our Christmas offering today. And we're going to put the message into practice. And we've had three projects, a local project. We're partnering with the Carver Center to help buy some sports equipment for their after-school programs, their recreation programs for kids who are in need. Many of you are buying sports equipment for your kids. It's things that they want for Christmas. And here's an opportunity to do it for some kids, low-income, underserved kids. Our second project is church planting with our parent church, Reach Northeast. We're gonna bless a church in New Jersey that's starting up, a new church. There were churches that invested in us. Our parent network invested in us so we could start this church. So if your life has been touched, we're going to pay it forward and invest in some other new churches, in particular one starting in New Jersey. And our third project is a global project that we're gonna watch a video in just a moment. And that is, we're going to help some Christians who have experienced persecution that are in great need. And we're going to partner with Samaritan's Purse to do that. So I want you to check out the video today so you can see our global project for our Christmas offering. Go ahead, guys. So good, isn't it? That's what it's all about, church. That's what it's all about. I love what the priest said there. Then he said, we're not doing a favor to the people. As a Christian, this giving thing is our job. This is our job. The least we're doing is what we're called to do as Christians. There are people all over this world today, people in Iraq and Syria, Christians, our Christian brothers and sisters who have experienced persecution. These are the faces. These are the needs. And so we want to stand today with them. We want to bless them. I want to remind you of that quote that we looked at the beginning of the service. Dr. Gary Chapman said, gifts are visual symbols of love. You know, this Christmas season, everywhere we look, we see Christmas trees and lights and mangers. We see that baby in a manger. They're all visible reminders. We're going to give gifts to each other. They're reminders that God has been more generous with us than we could ever imagine. He held nothing back from us. He freely gave his son for us. Jesus came to us in flesh, in blood, and it forever changed our world, forever changed the course of history, and has changed our lives. And here's what happens when you live a generous life. I'm not just talking about one act of giving. We're going to do that in just a moment. But I'm talking about when you embrace this generous thing, this flow of blessing, and you begin to live that way. Here's what happens. Your life becomes a visible symbol of love. Because those people who are encountering these good Samaritans who are helping them, here's what they're experiencing. They're experiencing sacred acts that are full of God's glory. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what religion they belong to. It doesn't matter what they've been through. Here's what they know, that these Christians are giving them something because they love them, and their lives, not just their act, but their lives have become visual symbols of love. I want that for you. I want you to embrace this kind of life. I want us to be that kind of church. Come on, how many of you want to live that way? How many of you want to belong to a church that becomes a living, breathing expression in this community, in this world, in our sphere of influence of God's love? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you came for us. Lord, we thank you for the miracle that we celebrate this time of year, that God, you gave yourself for us so freely. And Lord, today as we pour out our worship to you, as we reflect on the majesty of what you've done for us at Christmas time. God, our hearts are changed. Our hearts are impacted by your gift. Because we feel it deep in our hearts today, God, that you're a God who loves us. You're a God who held nothing back for us, but you came to us in flesh and blood, and you poured yourself out for us. And we're changed today, God. And in this moment of worship, in this moment when your presence is so real to us today, we say, God, make us more like you. Jesus, make us more like you. We thank you that you save us from ourselves. God, you save us from making this life all about us. And you give us the gift. You give us the gift of giving ourselves away to others like you did for us. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it today. Come on, just give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Come on, church.